Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to part two of our three-part holiday recap from Netflix. We're doing this with our friends Matt and Jake. You can find them over at 90 Day Gays. It's a great 90 Day... I always want to call it 90 Day Gay now, but 90 Day Fiancé podcast. Go find them wherever you hear podcasts. And if you want videos of this, just join us over at Crappens On Demand on Patreon. It's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. Sign up at the Crappens On Demand level, and you'll get all of our videos and our continuing edition of videos. Okay, just come on over. We sure love you guys. Thanks for being with us. Enjoy part two.
This movie was bonkers.
It was fun. It was watchable.
It was watchable.
I'm going to watch it again. That's it. I was fine with it.
I kind of wanted, because I was watching it in earnestness to like talk about it. This totally is a, I'm going to just make like a huge vodka tonic and watch this movie.
Yeah.
And knit.
I think I was confused by just so many of the tropes that were there. And then the ones that weren't.
Tropes? What are you talking about? Cut to a map going from here.
Yeah, by the way, they're supposed to be in Chicago. They're supposed to be like in Metro Chicago.
And it was only a map of like six blocks. It wasn't even like New York to San Francisco. It was just like in the other neighborhood.
Yeah, why did they need to like have an animation sequence to show because that a scene was happening in another part of the world?
The producer was like, how do we know it's Chicago? We gotta tell these kids it's Chicago.
Better put it on a big map.
It's the Windy City. Morty, get that map we have. Get it.
So now we go to the hot guy highlights. What was his name? Jackson.
So he shows up. So he is like, he's walking up with some girl to like a doorway. I'm like, oh, okay, we've got another person here. He's from the poster. So I know that like, okay, he's going to be important. So he looks really shy at first. And I thought his accent was British at first. So I'm like, oh, he's a shy British man who's being brought to, you know, Christmas. And there's this girl who's like, oh my god, like, you're here for Christmas, da, 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 this is my boyfriend. He's like, boyfriend? And then like the mom and the dad are like really like on top of him and like showing photos, like, oh, this is a photo of when she got her first period. We're in an edgy movie, guys. Bad Moms Part Two.
This is Bad Moms Part Two.
The first 10 minutes were like sensory overload for me. Like, it was like things were being thrown at your face so quickly.
It was like a movie version of when I once hooked up with that guy at Akbar, and he was like completely ate my face, and I took him home, and then I found out he had brought his overnight bag on the first hookup in my bathroom.
Well, you're dating the go-go boys. You can't. He was going to work. It's like getting mad that a doctor woke up next to you in scrubs.
It's true. I knew
some yoga teacher.
I knew it was bad the morning after. We were laying in bed. And he's like, I can't wait for us to do yoga together. Oh, and no. Jake and I were roommates at the time, and I walked down the hallway.
My eyes were like this.
And Jake is holding the bag in his hand, and he looks at me and says, this has to stop.
And I'm like, he brought his electric toothbrush.
But that is kind of like, I feel like this guy was part of that family where it's like, go hard, go quick, go now is this family. It got really edgy too when they later have sex. Highlights has sex with Carly, that's her name, and he doesn't want to, but you know, oh, he's a man, and if it just feels good, we forget our inhibitions and just, we've got to have sex. So they fuck, and they're later kind of giving gifts, and he doesn't get her a gift, and the line was, again, Bad Moms too. I'm going to use that, Ben. She's like, wait a minute. You just came in my mouth.
Oh. And I went,
I was like, a lot for me.
I was like, okay, I mean, but like, I would have liked it if maybe the whole movie was like that, but it wasn't like that. So it was just like this strange tonal, like,
it was tonal issues, yeah.
And what was weird too is that at this point, he was like this very polite guy who was kind of like, I'm just like a normal guy in a crazy world. And that's like the last time he's like that. Cause then from that point on, he's like a dick. The rest of the time he's like, well, look at you, lady in the supermarket. You wanna, well, you're crazy. Let's go to New Year's Eve and you're skanky and I can say that because it's fun. It's like, what?
You're not even that hot of a Sheila.
Yeah.
He's like, so nice to meet an ugly girl I can be myself around with.
Oh, buddy. I was like, wait, you deserve that other Carly girl, and why weren't you with her? Like,
oh my God. Yeah, I was feeling old because I was like, you know, I really would have liked to watch this with my nieces. Like, I was really upset when she's like, you came in my mouth, you can't give me a present. And then he tries to pay her off. He's like, well, I've got $20. And she's like, 80.
Yeah, she's like, what am I, a prostitute?
It was like, such a, like, who is this movie for? Like, is it for, like, because, like, any people who love these movies, they'd probably be like, me going, come in your mouth.
Yeah. Like, in the beginning.
I know.
But then it goes sort of in a sweet way. And then I wrote down a note. Did someone say this? I think he said it, right? Chicks go mental on the holidays, right? Or something like that.
Yes.
Like, wow, girls are crazy in the holidays.
I think his friend said that to him later. Oh, yeah. When he's like, you can't go to her house for Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's boning her in her childhood room. Then back at Sloane's house, she's sitting at the kids' table. She's like, I prefer the single table. And so even the kid is on her ass about being with someone. And she's like, so Aunt Sloane, why didn't you call Rodney the clown? Mm-hmm. And she's like, why don't you call Rodney the clown? She's like, I have a boyfriend already, and I share his juice box. And so she's like, oh, fuck you. He's going to be sharing that juice box with some Starbucks barista named Rainbow.
Right.
She, you know, and you know the writer of that movie spent so much time actually knowing how she wanted that line to be done.
It's true.
Yeah.
Just practicing it.
With the little girl. And so then, so Sloane has this, like, younger brother who is kind of, like, just a douchebag, actually. Yeah. Like, he has nothing, there's
all
nothing
the
to him.
All the men in this movie are awful.
This guy's particularly behaving badly. Yeah, he's like, he's just like someone
I
thought
he who was so sweet.
Takes
he was
selfies like, at the gym.
I thought he was so sweet and like committing to people.
That's why you have relationship problems.
But then he's like, he has this girlfriend named Liz, and he proposes to her. And I'm like, at the time, I'm like, okay, cool. But as the movie goes on, I'm like, why are these two even in a relationship? They do not match each other at all in any sort of way.
Well, that's why it was funny, because they had only known each other for 3 months and six heavenly days. But they know nothing about each other.
I didn't even realize that it was like the running joke. I thought it was just like bad writing.
They don't know each other the whole time. I don't think the brother was there for any reason but yet to be his golf student, so they would slightly know each other.
That was the only reason the brother was there.
Almost a complication, but it wasn't a complication because it didn't lead to anything.
You're so right, Ben. You realize they're kind of like my Aunt Darla. They walk right up to conflict, and then when they see it, they're like, nope, can't do it, I'm out.
It was a Darla. It's like we've got MacGuffins, and now we have Darlas.
Darla Jean, yeah.
That's an Aunt Darla.
Yeah, because it was they know each other. Now they're going to be entangled in ways they can't imagine. Oh, no, it's pretty much the same. And it doesn't matter because all the family shows up at every holiday anyway.
It's just fine, like, Tim. It's fine, Tim. Get my purse. We're leaving.
I feel like it was White Cell he did that. I think he was like, you know what we need in this film? A Darla. Cool! Make the son the golf student.
So now it's like after this horrific Christmas and Jackson is at a store. He's at the department store, and he's returning. He's basically returning the khakis to get money off of them, and he wants his $40 back or his $80 back that he paid to go, which only occurred to me right now. So he's like, oh, I'd like to return some khakis, please. And then like Sloane's behind him, being like, hurry up. Some of us have a job, okay?
Yeah, Crocodile Dundee. I was like, okay, whoa.
That's my something. Again, I don't know how this woman
is. It's a 30-year-old reference.
who wrote this. But it's not just that. First of all, Crocodile Dundee. Later on, we're going to get a Matt Lauer tattoo. And then we're also going to get Steve Urkel. Like, someone is really upset that 1992 is gone. Really upset because the tattoo comes. She's like, "Quack, quack," and they start to fight about who's returning what.
And also, like, what a fucking bitch! If you're at a store and someone's like, who "Hurry screams? Up!" and some of us have a job, Crocodile Dundee, you'd be like, "Shut the fuck! Like, who the fuck are you? Rude. I'm trying to get my money. I'm here for the same reason you are."
Also, I think was written. Oh, go ahead, honey.
No one except a monster attacks strangers. Yeah. In a line. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. You do what you're supposed to do, which is you cross your arms, you go...
That's what Jake does.
Come on. What you waiting for?
Yeah, and you tap your foot a little bit, and you just, swipe your phone loudly. You know, like, when you have your phone, and you're like...
Yeah. Or maybe
have
a fake conversation.
Have Jake turn to someone and say, how long have you been waiting? Very loudly.
How long have you been waiting here?
I'll be there as soon as I'm done. This line's just taking forever. I know. Just people are so slow. They're just not prepared. Okay,
but I'm a total phony because I get so mad in the line, and then I hate everybody in the line, like resent them for having too many things in their cart or taking too long. And then I get up to the front, and I'm like, hi, how are you?
Thank you so much.
Thank you for your help.
Me too. I hate conflict.
I'd be like, I was in a hurry.
And Darla and I are a lot alike.
But also, I think this was written to, it was written by someone who's never really been poor, about poor, like what they think poor people are like, because the house, like the mama's family house, I'm like, I'm sure, you guys, it's like the tiniest house they could get where they have to get a leaf for the table. And then they have this where they're like fighting over their, like she's fighting over $2 for jogging pants that she didn't like from her sister, or pajama pants. And he's like, I really need that money for the cookies. Like, oh,
she's like, how do poor people behave?
I know, and he's like a golf pro.
Poor person give another poor person for Christmas?
Also, what professional golfer returns khakis? He's like, he should be like, sweet.
Right? Yeah.
Sweet.
So she moves her way up to the front of the line because she's like a different kind of romantic movie. Yeah, heroine.
Starts tapping into her power.
Yeah, so she moves up and she's like, I have a quick return. PJs and the size of a lumberjack.
You know, like,
she's filled with rage.
She's a very angry person with a remarkably wonderfully decorated apartment. So
yes,
she's
beautiful. Yeah. We're going to talk about that apartment.
Yeah, yeah, we are going to get there. She's like a monster, but then she shops at Anthropology. And you're like, what?
Well, that's tracks. So she can only get $5 from her exchange because her sister gave her pants from like two seasons ago, which I thought was actually pretty funny. And so they like do this whole negotiation with the girl behind them and they get like money out of it. But also like the girl gives them like a 2-for-1 pretzel coupon at like Wetzel's Pretzels, which then I guess is actually important because it means that these two, like our leads, have a scene together because they have to go get their pretzel.
By the way, I just
the weirdest
concept I've ever heard.
I was just looking on my phone because I went, I wonder what the Princess Leia, like nerd girl with the Matt Lauer tattoo's name was. And it was Annie. That was her character's name, Annie.
Oh, okay.
Guess
who Annie is? Poor, the orphan, Annie. Orphan.
Oh my
god! She spent all her money on a Matt Lauer tattoo. Oh, actual Annie. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. This is what happens, Annie. She winds up getting a Matt Lauer tattoo.
There was also just the idea of having that. Here's a 2-for-1 pretzel, and normally you don't meet a stranger and say, "Do you want to go too?"
Yeah, you'd take this.
It seems really strange. Here, you'll use this because I don't know you and I don't want to spend time with you.
I'm going to get fucking two pretzels. I'm going to get the regular pretzel with the cheese sauce, and then I'm going to get the cinnamon sugar one with the for dessert.
No, I think those are upsells. I'm betting you that is like you buy one kind of pretzel and you get another. You can't just be like, oh, I want the $2.60 pretzel and the $3.15 pretzel.
Yeah,
I'm writing for poor people. That's it.
I think it's strange that they already were so contentious. Like, she was already such an asshole to him, and then he was kind of a dick to her. It's weird that then they were like, okay, let's walk together
can we go to
the pretzel shop, which, for all we know, could have been across the mall. You know,
because they were
big mall.
They were bonded at this point because they were both complaining about their Christmases or their whatever it was. It was Christmas, right?
Well,
so they were Christmas. So they were complaining about their Christmases and how horrible everybody. You know, they were bonding over negativity, which I found very realistic. And so they went to get their little pretzel thing, and then they keep bitching about all the stupid people in line and everybody's stupid. My family sucks. And then they're like, hey, we should date.
Yeah. there's this weird like badinage about like her Urkel impersonation because she's like, he's like, he shames her for eating pretzels. I don't even remember why, but he's like shaming her. And then he says, this
that's
is a quote.
Food, mate.
Yeah, he goes, I bought you a free pretzel, so you owe me an Urkel. I'm like, what? She doesn't owe you any Urkel impersonation.
It was that was one of the strangest pieces of dialogue in the movie.
That really was.
You an Urkel.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, when she came out with her fascination about her Urkel, she's like, yeah, I had a thing for Urkel. I spent months learning how to throw my voice like Urkel. So then he makes her do Urkel. And I was like, who fucking?
You guys are terrible. I feel bad for people walking by you overhearing your conversation.
Because I guess she had a ventriloquist. Because again, y'all, again, Zack Snyder romantic comedies. She has a ventriloquist doll named Lester that she did the Steve Urkel voice.
But do you see how we have to do? We have to go through all of this just to find that out.
Just to find that out. But it works though, because once they both decide to have holidays, because Jackson says, quote, human beings don't need to be alone on the holidays, because he says it like it's a fact.
You're forgetting also the whole reason why holiday came up is she saw the black Santa. Guy who was Kristen Jenner, the Santa, Black Santa.
Oh, yes.
And that she had this look of horror on her face, like, will the Black Santa know me? Oh, my God.
He's like, I already know the Santa Claus. And she's like, oh, that was my aunt's holiday. And she's like, he's like, holiday, eh? And then, like, that's when she explains the concept.
Are you saying holiday or holiday? Because holiday is pretty good. Is it at the end of that? Because it sounds like you're saying holiday and date and putting them together. Is that what you're doing?
And so he starts saying this thing. He's like, well, you know what? I need a holiday because I'm done casually dating on the holidays. It's too much pressure. It's ridiculous. I'm like, well, then don't casually date on the holidays and, like, stay home and jerk off.
Yeah.
Truly.
How many people casually date on the holidays?
Go to Memorial Day alone.
I have never done that. And I have one friend who freaks out every time it's Christmas or any holiday. She's like, oh my God, I'm alone. Ah! I'm like, this is the best time of the year to be alone. Like, if there's ever a time to realize what a pleasure it is being alone, it's a holiday. Seeing everybody else suck. And, like, you've put up with him for how many years? Like, you see the deterioration of this shit every year. I mean, I just feel better about it every year.
And why does it, like, why is he so scared of, like, if he casually dates someone and then they think that it's much more committed than it is, like, why is he afraid of that? I think there was a scene in the car later, which we'll get to, where he tries to explain it, but I don't feel like it really addresses the issue here. Like, it's, like, weird psychology going on with these characters.
It's horrible psychology.
There seems like there were a lot of scenes that were cut to make this movie an hour and 45 minutes.
I was going to say, there are so many, you guys, when this gets released on a DVD at Blockbuster, because what the guy was imagining when he wrote it, because it was the wrong time period, there's going to be so many deleted scenes.
Yeah, because it's like, if you're afraid of commitment, if you're afraid of being, like, overly committed, you're afraid of commitment, and you're afraid that the holidays are going to cause that to happen.
Yes.
Why are you also interested in casually dating during the holidays? Yes. Why is that so important that you casually date during the holidays?
Yes.
Right? Like, I think if you're afraid of commitment, you just avoid it all together and go out with, like, your other single bros that are in the same boat.
I just realized this is the movie that when you do rent at Blockbuster, it's so not good enough. It's because to market it, they'll give you a box of chocolate when you rent it.
Yes.
That's enough for me.
It's a good point.
I think to have a holiday, to make the assumption of a holiday means that you basically said, I'm not really going to date. I'm just going to give up hope for any serious relationship.
Yes.
I'm closing up my life.
Yeah.
That's it for me. It's a long, dark hallway.
Yeah.
And how, if you are a casual dater, like if you're someone who casually dates enough that you actually casual date on something like Christmas, what are you doing in between those holidays? Are you casually dating and then you tell someone, I can't spend St. Patrick's Day with you because I have a platonic date that I see on holidays.
A platonic date that I see on every holiday. And someone goes, what the fuck is that?
And then the casual date is over.
What's wrong with you? Are you just sad?
I just don't get the whole idea because I brought somebody home one time just for fun. I wasn't even serious. It was just like some casual, like a casual thing. They still will ask. You know, it's like, how's that guy? Remember that guy? I was like, I was 20.
Yeah.
are we going to still ask about that?
Oh, he's dead
year?
Now.
He's in prison, Mom. He did coke off some guy's dick.
So either way, he basically is like, let's be holidays for New Year's Eve. And he's like, there'll be no expectations because honestly, I don't even find you that attractive. He says, you're not saying you're not attractive. I just don't find you attractive.
It was. And the tone of that was so weird. And it was like a weird, he said it wrong and he said it weirdly. And she kind of went,
because he didn't believe it, obviously. Don't you remember the scene in Sprouts?
Didn't believe it, guys.
There was a scene in Sprouts. Ryan Gosling, we're getting to you.
We're getting to you.
They name checked Ryan Gosling like 11 times in this movie.
I know. And so then he's like, all right, well, let me give you my information on a business card. I was like, oh, this is from 1991.
Yes. I'm telling you.
He's like, then, let's switch information by bumping our fists together with our phones open.
You guys, my dad, that just reminded me, he is so scared that he thinks that if you bump your phones together just accidentally, it automatically will share your data.
Well, tell your father to stop watching Real Housewives of Dallas, because that's where he got that idea.
That probably.
Yeah. I cloned your phone.
He's like, man, watch your phone. Don't let it touch my phone. I don't want your shit. Anyway, it's but you know what? I will say maybe one of my favorite lines in the movie, you had me at Lester. That was the whole point of that ventriloquist dummy, y'all, was just so they could say they took so many different scenes from movies and they're like, how can we make this fantastic line or this fantastic scene in one of these great pivotal momentous movies and make it better?
Yeah. You had me at Lester.
You had me at Lester. I think too, what if that whole like throwing the voice thing was just because Emma Roberts had special skills on her resume that said throwing voice and she never been able to use it. And
she's got slide whistle, throwing voice, and tap dancing.
Yeah. And she's like, Ryan Murphy never lets me do this.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed.
Please let me include this in the movie. Like, sure, you can have a scene with Frances Fisher where you talk about your father.
Oh, she's like, who? Okay, so they decide that they're going to be holidays because he has tickets to some party. And she's like, oh my God, that's such a fun party.
That's the best party.
Yeah. Another thing single people never say. And like, oh my God, thank God, a date. That's the coolest date party ever.
Her family's going.
Like, her family had connects, but she didn't, like everyone else. Like, even her frumpy sister, like, her Aunt Susan got into this party, but she's like, oh, God, you got a ticket to that party. And by the way, I do not believe for one moment that Sloane's character would ever want to go to that party.
Never.
That
was, like, a terrible party. Never.
No, she doesn't.
Okay, so now Sloane is working at home in her pajamas, which her mother hates. And she's like, honey, can't you just put on a nice top? So she's trying to hook her up with her new neighbor, Farouk. And she's like, he's single and free on New Year's. And she just hangs up on her mom.
Can I just say I was honestly worried that he was going to have a really bad Indian or Middle Eastern accent.
Well, yeah.
That would get problematic.
This is definitely one where you didn't know if it was going to be problematic, for sure.
No.
I was like...
But also, there was something kind of, like, slightly problematic in that, like, it almost felt like the fact that his name was Farouk was the punchline. Like, oh God, someone named Farouk.
And,
you know, I was like, that's not.
And the way
mom
was saying, yes, this very exotic doctor, Farouk.
Yes,
who knows what he's going to share with me?
Yeah, he's a doctor next door. I was like, great.
I just want to back up and say, yes, racism is important, but something that really offended me is this is the worst office banter on the phone I've ever heard. Because I've worked a cubicle job for 17 years when she's just literally someone said, what do we write for Sloane being on an office? And they said, just have her say we're right on target for Q3. That was like the most lame office dialogue fucking ever.
Can you refill my stapler, Paul?
Exactly. That would have been more... Anyway,
we're right on target like for Q3.
That's all that I wanted to say. I'm fine. I just had to get that.
That's
someone
what
Googled the screenwriter who's not obviously a rich person.
I think you're right, Ben. I think she's rich.
She Googled, what do office people say?
Yeah.
And that came up.
I don't know I don't know anybody who gets mad at their mother for trying to set them up with a hot doctor anyway. I mean, he's like
hot.
He's the hot doctor next door, and she's like, gross. I guess I'll look at the golf guys.
He's actually nice, where the guy she's in love with is horrible.
Yeah.
My mom tried to fix me up with some guy, and we met at her restaurant when she had a restaurant. And we're drinking these gigantic martinis because it's a Karam restaurant, so they're this big. And the guy comes in, and he was fine, but there was something like kind of skittish. And he went to the bathroom. I said, Mom, he seems kind of like shaky and skittish. She goes, oh, he just got out of rehab. He's like, he had severe drug issues. But, you know, he's working through it and he's getting, and I was like, we're drinking huge martinis. Like, why? This is your idea of a setup.
He got off the wagon for you.
Honey, the martini's going to loosen him up. It's fine.
This is her idea of a setup. Having martinis with someone who just got out of rehab and has the shakes. I was like, mother. I will take the hot doctor, okay?
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So then we go over to Jack's and he's hanging out with his buddy. Is his name Tom? The buddy Tom?
The Vine guy.
The Vine guy's named Tom. And so Tom's like looking through like a Tinder type thing and he's like, look at this girl. And he's like, I don't need a real girl because I'm emotionally closed off as all golfers are. I need a holiday.
You know what I need? A pair of cockies. God, I wish I could find a pair of cockies somewhere. Cockies.
You know what I need? I don't need a real girl. What I need is a very, very attractive woman that I can hang out with on a regular basis and potentially develop feelings for, but I won't say that part.
Because they're both two beautiful people. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely irresponsible.
So then, sorry, Matt. Is that when Sloan calls him?
Yeah. I told you to text him.
Yeah, he's like, oh, so ticks don't crawl. And his friend is like, what's a holiday? Is that an app?
Is that a meme?
He was funny. I'll give it to him. He was.
He did the best with what he could do.
Yeah, he did. So now Jackson and Sloan go to this like New Year's Eve party, which is like, again, also like a party that's like, I guess it's like, has anyone involved in this movie ever been to a New Year's Eve party? Like, what was this? Like, this abandoned theater or something like that? Like, it was huge.
It was like a club, but it wasn't really a club.
It was like a movie club.
Yeah. It also was way too spacious because if you go to those, I went to one time with our old roommate, Lindsay. We went to, it's on Cahuenga. It's basically like one of those like on Hollywood Boulevard. And it used to be. It's I think
Playhouse
it is
or something.
La Brea. It's like whatever. And it is one of those like concert venues. It was on New Year's Eve. It's so packed, and it just smells like swass and drunk people
and beer.
Everyone's sweaty and gross. This is not a New Year's Eve.
Sounds hot.
It just did not look. It was just like it did not look or feel like a real party. It looked like the sort of thing that like there's like a shootout in an action movie, you know?
Yes. Yes.
Like a Japanese Yakuza boss is in the back with like it was an like opium den. Like,
it was literally like the scene from Black Panther in like Macau.
I was just thinking that. Yeah, I was just thinking that.
So then they're like making fun of people, which I appreciated. And then he's like, that's time for more like romantic banter or like anti-romantic banter. Because he's like, your tits look exceptional. I love the way it hugs your ass too. Isn't this amazing? Because we're clearly not going to date each other, so I can say whatever I want.
Yeah, he's like, thank God I can say whatever I want because you've got a face like a horse. And
exactly. Like a drink?
And she's like, yeah, and I can dress sexy without being slut shamed. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Sexual harassment is much better.
In her super slutty dress. But what was that? Was that a slutty dress?
No.
It was like, no.
It was
like
a cocktail dress.
It was a very pretty black dress.
There was a costume that she was wearing at 4th of July where her ass was out. Now that was kind of slutty, but that's okay.
Oh, yeah. God.
But also like, isn't like, it's like, okay. Like I get you guys are holidays. I get it. But like, why do you have to be dicks to each other? Like, aren't you supposed to like enjoy each other's company?
Yeah. Like have a good conversation. And again, it was this very much, again, the one upping and of the dialogue, because again, you're thinking, whoa, they're talking about tits, they're talking about curves, I need to hide my child's eyes. Oh, just wait till Aunt Susan comes and she starts talking about her clitoris.
Yeah, well, cute. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, Aunt Susan brings over, she's like, look at this art student. And I'm like, I'm glad we know it's an art student because he's wearing a motherfucking beret.
I know, yeah, I was like...
I noticed that too.
I was like, thanks for telegraphing that.
He's an artist. Maybe you should have had his like painter's palette as well.
Morty. Go get that beret. I think it's in the back of my station wagon, Morty.
And he should have like spoken like Pepe Le Pew French at her or something. So stupid.
Yeah, so they see her over there because she's flirting with beret guy, and he's like, now look at her. She's a divorcee, probably into bondage. What a crazy lady. She's like, that's my aunt. So she comes over with the artist guy, and she's that's like, I was aunt. A new model. Like, I know him because I was a new model over there. Oh, my God, he made me the most beautiful clay clit, like a butterfly. Taking greens.
She's like, and we're all like,
And your teenage daughter who's watching it with you is like, why am I watching this?
Yeah. Kristen Chenoweth was Clary Clitoris. So now it's like, then it's like later in the party and they're in like a banquet and they're talking about like a movie or something like that. They're just like yapping along. Oh. And then at one point,
because they're talking about a romantic movie and she's like, that was just cockamamie because they were like, we know they're going to be together because they're in the poster together. So we know they end up together. And I'm like, romantic movies. Am I right? Barf.
And it's important that you take note of the fact that she said cockamamie because we actually have a very... There's a callback. Cockamamie. Who says that word anymore? Cockamamie.
Note, when you're writing a really shitty romantic comedy, don't have a scene where actors talk about good romantic comedies that they didn't think were good. Because it's just going to remind us that we're sad. That
we're like, oh, that sounds good.
You're like,
that?
I'm sitting there going, why can't I just watch Harry and Sally for the first time again? Please.
And it's like, it's also like the self-referential, you know, banter about the genre that you're watching.
Yeah, it's icky.
Was sort of played out in 1999 with Scream, or it's 97. So like it's like, oh, this is so fresh. They're making self-referential jokes about rom-coms.
But she really loves romantic movies, though, Ben, because Jackson, out of nowhere, suddenly becomes somewhat smart and just says to her out of the blue, who ruined these movies for you?
What sort of cockamamie is this? Oh, God, I just said it.
Oh, my God, I just realized cockamamie has the word cocky in it. I'll be right back. Need to go find some cockies.
So she's like, okay, I've had a couple of drinks, so I'm going to open my heart right now. Walls down. And so she tells him about the ex that broke her heart. He was smart. He was cute. He was French. She had tiny little John Lennon glasses. He ran marathons. This girl would never date that guy.
Never.
I totally agree.
Right? Like, this girl would not. She would mock him and try to run him over on accident in her car. You know?
Yes. Yes.
And what happened with Luke? What did she say happened with Luke?
He went and fucked Rainbow the barista.
He texted photos of his cock to a barista, and I was like, cock.
Another word with cockies.
The word cock in a romantic comedy in this setting, I was just like, cock.
God, I should have kept
those cockies.
Like a dildo
hit you in the face.
So then she goes to the bathroom and there's a girl who's got red wine spilled all over her white dress and she's like, oh my God, he was like gonna propose tonight and now I'm just got a stained shirt. Oh my God.
And it's like not a red wine. It's like a full on she was stabbed earlier stain. Like that is not a like red wine is not actual blood color. It was like this crazy bloody
That was awful. That was truly a terrible effect. Yeah,
it was. And
Morty,
for no,
Morty, get that extra blood. It's in the back of the van.
Why did thou said to do it?
And for no reason, by the way, because it literally had no bearing on anything that happened in the movie.
Nothing.
I couldn't figure that out.
But no, it showed that she's nice.
Yeah,
it showed
she's
that
a good
she's
person.
Nice because she traded her pretty black quote unquote slut dress. Which is not, again, we used to sell them at Casual Corner. Anyway, but
she's a miserable
them very
person.
Well.
A black dress for her wife, so that makes her a good
But
person.
Also that she doesn't care. She's like, whatever, I'm like carefree, I have fun. I'm wearing someone else's blood on me.
Yeah, it showed that she was like changing because she opened up, she put her walls down for the guy, then she did a good deed for somebody else, and then she was even willing to dance in public to the
dirty dancing song. And they did bubbles. They did bubbles.
Yeah, she was like changing and becoming happier again and more carefree, and then it all went to shit when she tried to do the dirty dancing lift and he dropped her.
I want to say, that's harder. Doing a lift like that is harder. Someone just doesn't jump and you catch them. Like, there is a technique for that.
You know what? There is. When I was a mascot in high school, I had to lift up cheerleaders and it was It did not go well.
I can't take another mascot story.
I'm just saying, I was a very good mascot. I was a great mascot. But I'm just saying, it was hard.
So they queue up for this lift and she runs. And I figure, okay, this is where like the fact that she's in this bloody dress is going to have some impact on something. But they do the lift and he lifts her up and it's great. And then like her dress like
rips.
Falls
you hear
off.
It rip. Yeah, you hear it go rip. Yeah.
I guess the whole thing is because it wasn't her size, but they didn't really set that up or something. But then
all they could have said is just like, he was like, you look nice. She's like, it's a little tight. That's all we had to say.
Yeah, or she should have been like, or doing this, but like nothing. There was just like, it just falls off for no good reason.
It wasn't set up at all.
And then when it falls off, he's like, oh no, I'm suddenly weak. And he drops her. And then it's like, but then in the next scene, the dress is back on again. And there's like a strap. And I'm like, so there were straps there. So why did it fall forward? Like, do you not know how to put on your strap dress?
You cannot fool gay men. We know about apparel.
Yeah.
We know about physics.
We were all but like, that dress was fine the entire time. Liars. And also now she's all upset because her dress is like she showed her boobs on a New Year. Who this girl would not care? She'd be like, ha ha!
If
I looked
like
dress
that, I'd be showing my tits everywhere. Hey,
yes, I would be naked right now.
My tits. Yeah. Hey, everybody. But you know what? It was good for them again to reference maybe one of, if not the best romantic comedies of all time, to remind us that we're not watching Dirty Dancing because they got to say
that's not a romantic comedy.
Baby, Dirty Dancing's a romantic
comedy. Sure it is. No, well, I mean, there's some like sad parts, but yeah, it's a romantic
drama. It's a movie with social messages, and I know this because I just watched two nights ago a behind the scenes on the making of Dirty Dancing.
It's all about social medias and social messages and class.
It's great.
That's what
there's
I thought it was about.
But there's like a special. There's a thing on Netflix that's like behind the scenes on movies, and they had one on Dirty Dancing. It was fantastic.
It's a drama.
It is.
That sister is funny.
I haven't seen this since I was a kid.
That's funny.
Yeah, I haven't seen this since I was a kid.
Hallway, that girl.
The point is this.
The point is this.
The point is this. It's time for New Year's. And this douchebag, I don't care if they're going to kiss or not, who walks away when it's like 11:59?
He's got a taste
at 11:59.
Well, they got in a fight because she's like, nobody drops a baby on her head. And he's like, I don't have to take this. I was like, what? You dropped her. So then he
it was
just
a
leaves.
Fight.
Again, it's great yeah, it was movie a dumb line. Fight. Let's change it and make it better.
Yeah. Nobody drops a baby on her Urkel.
And I do that for you.
So he leaves all mad and then comes back for some reason right after... right after the countdown. And so
and
now they're like, oh.
And
yeah,
she's
and
sad.
Like, oh, we're mad because I'm naked and covered in wine, and I'm mad because she got mad at me for dropping her on the floor in front of people.
And she has, like, FOMO, you know. So she's also kind of annoying because she's not being honest with herself or us, which
that's
I don't
when
like.
I was like, you didn't want this. It's too early in the movie for you to have a change of heart.
I mean, it really is. So much a good message for women to say. Women, you should doubt yourself, not trust your instincts, and always feel insecure in your decisions.
And go out with people who say you're ugly. Yeah.
So, y'all, this is definitely something to watch with your daughter, your nieces.
Yeah. Girl power.
Girl power, not.
So he drops her home, and he's like, well, tonight didn't suck. I actually had a fairly decent time, which actually felt like a very authentic thing that someone like him would say.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he's like, how about Valentine's Day? And she's like, ew, no. Blah.
She's like, I might have a chance to hook up with somebody by then. I was like, not with that.
So you do
want to
be with someone?
Yeah, like... now she's looking again, I guess. I don't know.
So now we're like in February. It's Valentine's Day, and they're in some sort of like chocolate store. They're like, so she's there. Sloane is there with her sister
again. This family does fucking too much together.
Yeah, but they're like, it's like her. What's her sister's name again? It's like Amy.
It's probably like Lily or something.
Lily, and then Liz, the like future sister-in-law, and they're like sitting at a table in the chocolatier. I'm like, why are they at a table in like a store? Why is there a table there? But they're there.
Like a ladies' date. It does.
I thought
they
were looking at bridal invitations or something.
Yeah,
for
they were looking
her
at like cards or something.
Yeah,
right?
That's what I thought. They were looking at invitations for her wedding.
Yeah, so they're looking over those because, it's Valentine's Day and someone's getting married. They have to make it as miserable for...
Yes, I only know that because I've always get chosen to be the gatron of honor to be a best man at somebody's fucking wedding.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You've done that so many times. I've
done it a lot.
So she's going to, they're like, are you going to go out with someone on Valentine's Day? Blah, blah, blah. And she's like, no, I'm going to go home and drink wine and eat chocolate and watch porn on Valentine's Day. Which is funny because just before she was saying she was hoping that she wouldn't be in that situation, but fine.
I'm happy being single.
That's what, again, yay women.
Yeah. And then like, well, what about the mall guy? And she's like, ew, he can't even speak English. He says khaki like cocky, like cockamamie.
That's such a weird line. He can't even speak English. It sounds like something like someone would scream at a white power rally.
Yes,
it's like,
I know.
Ew, he's so handsome and has a hot Australian accent and is
a
professional athlete. Ew.
Yeah, ew.
Speak English, Dundee.
Also, she says he can't even speak English, but she was just in love with a French guy.
You just blew a hole in the movie.
Ronnie just ruined the movie. Maybe it's I don't know. Poodle, use your gift.
Maybe
does he have BDF?
Which one?
Highlights.
Poodle
has a gift. He can tell.
Big dick.
Big dick. Frenemy.
Big it's dick. Pretty, frenemy.
It's face. So you can see it in the face. It's
big
all,
dick face.
Yeah, but it's pretty substantial.
I think that's why she's holding on to it. I don't know.
I mean, he's made it onto Netflix. I would assume it's pretty decent sized.
Yeah.
I looked him up, and he hasn't really been in that much.
No.
Shocker.
He was in Shock Break.
I've liked
but he's
the
handsome. I think he'll be in more stuff. He was really
handsome. He's very handsome. He definitely showed he could be funny, though, and he can deliver dialogue.
I
loved him.
I sometimes feel like he was like her uncle because he didn't look but I just feel like she looked so young and he doesn't look old. He looks,
he's definitely some heavy cream that you need to turn into some gratin before it goes bad. He's right at that stage.
Yes.
Yeah. It's, his eyes, especially the eyes with the crinkly eyes were.
It's funny because the entire time I was thinking it was Bryce Dallas Howard and I'm like, how are they making her play so young when she literally ran Jurassic Park? She was the administrator of an amusement park in one movie, and now she's just this young little something. So this makes a lot more sense to me.
I love that you just 29. Went with it the whole time.
No, I'm not even joking. I literally had that thought. I was like, how is it that she's running at a dangerous amusement park, and then in this movie, she can barely operate Zoom.
Oh my God, here we go.
Oh my God. And that brings us to the end of part two. We will be back tomorrow with part three. Go check out 90 Day Gaze wherever you get your podcasts. And again, if you want these videos, just come over to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens and sign up on the on-demand level. Hope your holiday week is going great. We love you guys.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's a little bit loony.
Junie, higher than high res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan lettuce.
He makes us squee, Richie D.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy, cease and desisto. Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We will, Joanna Rockland you.
The incredible edible Matthew Sisters.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.